welcome to After Dark on the America Out Loud platform. Glad you could join us tonight. And tonight, my co-host is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. I don't know if you guys were glued to the TV like so many other people are glued to your radio or whatever you use to get your news, but yesterday was a very interesting day. And Heather and I, we told you guys it was going to be interesting because that was the day that Letitia James was going to put her grubby little paws on Trump's assets. However, he managed to escape with his assets intact, to the media's dismay, and they are having a monumental breakdown. I think I'll say it again. A monumental breakdown. They can't believe that Letitia James was not able to go and padlock Trump Towers, 40 Wall Street, or any of his properties in New Jersey, Bedford, New Jersey, or any other place, including Mar-a-Lago. I mean, this was built in the cards for them that they were going to take this. They were probably ready, Heather, to have the cameras out, to watch Trump's properties get padlocked, and they were going to cheer and say, hooray, 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 finally, we've got him, we've got him, we got him. But it just didn't happen, Heather. It just didn't happen. And You know what's really sad is that we have Americans cheering on our government, acting like we're in some third world country like Russia or China. Now, remember what happened in Russia just recently? They had an election, and the only opponent for Vladimir Putin was thrown in jail, locked up, beaten, and then mysteriously he dies. The media sees this, and they say, bad Putin, bad Putin. But they're doing the exact same thing here in America with the Democrat Party and the media by trying to take Trump out. They don't want him to be able to run. They want to take his money. And because they see that Biden won't be able to beat him because he's an old man suffering from probably dementia, but definitely have some cognitive issues there, what better way to take Trump out than to throw him in jail and lock him up? It was a good day because they didn't succeed, but it's a sad day that this is happening. And I was watching when it happened on Monday night, and then today, I was watching the gloom on the faces of so many journalists. Heather, they were mad and angry that what they thought they had in place isn't going to happen. I mean, did you see the looks on their faces, the gloomy looks on their faces, Heather?
I didn't catch it, Rob. I didn't watch a lot of TV news today. I saw a little bit, but of course I know in the big picture that all these forces are aligned to try to stop them and by hell or high water. And I mean, it's a circus, and I'm sure anything that stymies them is like the end of the world to them.
They wanted this man, Aragon. They thought that he and Letitia James had like the Big Ten, that they finally had him. And when the judge came out, the appellate court, and I have to admit, Heather, I had no doubt, no trust that the appeal court would rule in Trump's favor. I thought, no, they're going to say, no, you've got to pay it. I sincerely thought that. I believed it. And they came out, and I guess they decided, well, we'll just split this a little bit, and we'll say, okay, $175 million, and you have 10 days to come up with it. We spoke about this last night, and we've spoken about this on just about every show. I personally feel that this is an overreach, and according to the Eighth Amendment, you can't fear an unusual punishment placing a fine that's really excessive if the person can't pay it. They know that Trump can't pay this. They know that it's impossible. Yes, he's a billionaire, but no billionaire has $500 million just sitting around in cash. It's all tied up in assets. And no smart billionaire would have half a billion sitting in cash. But why would you do that? You want to invest it Even the owner of the Dallas Mavericks had chastised Representative Liu when he came out and said, ha ha ha, you see, Trump isn't a billionaire because he doesn't have the money. And you have so many others that are saying the same thing. And it's like, don't they, or do these guys not have common sense? No person in their right mind is going to have that much money just laying around. So, and then to say, well, he has no money. And then in the same breath, they'll say, Letitia James was saying, well, we need to make certain that we seize these assets because we can't trust him. What do you mean you can't trust him? Where is he going to go? He's running for the president of the United States, Letitia. And then you had the
Yeah,
media saying the exact same thing.
they wish he'd go. I mean, that's their whole point and obsession that he won't go. You know, he won't stop trying. Now they're afraid. Yeah, they're afraid. They're really afraid he's going to go. Please.
And where will he go? Where could he go? Where could he go and hide? Everyone knows the Trump airplane, but they don't care. So when they make these accusations, they say things like, oh, well, Trump, he has the money, he's just trying to hide it. And then they'll say, oh, he doesn't have any money. And I'm like, wait a minute. Do you guys actually hear yourself? It was Mark Cuban who made the comment to Ted Lieu. He actually tweeted it. He said, you're a dummy. You're a dummy. This man is not going to have, he said, I'm not a fan of Trump, but do you actually think he's going to have just laying around a half a billion dollars? Even Elon Musk doesn't have that amount of money laying around. And remember, they did the same thing to Elon Musk when he got ready to buy Twitter. And then he said, well, no, I don't want to buy it. And then they started saying, oh, see, he doesn't have that amount of money. He's not the world's richest man. He doesn't have that money. And everyone else in the media, including talk media, started parroting the same line. Elon Musk isn't as rich as he claims to be. Who's their financial advisor? Are these people, do they hear what they're saying? It doesn't make any sense for him to have anyone to have that amount of money just laying around. But they attacked Elon Musk. He doesn't have the money. And then when he was finally able to put the money together, then it went back to, we don't like it. He has too much money. He has too much power. He has too much influence. Where they're saying the same thing with Donald Trump. And Sunday, I mean, they were just like naming all the properties that Letitia James get her grubby little paws on. Even Monday morning, they as soon as they started talking with the morning shows and the crack of dawn, they started saying, this is a day. This is the final day. We got him. She's going to seize all of his properties. And I was reading and hearing from other legal experts, Heather, and they were saying that even if, let's say, the appeal court hadn't thrown Trump a lifeline, that it wouldn't have been as easy as the media is portraying it to be. Because, see, they're feeding this crazy animal that they've created. In the public, they're feeding them, making them think, oh, it's over. Oh, they're going to get Trump. She's going to get Trump now. And she, even last week, they said that she filed a petition in the courts in Bedford, New Jersey, that she planned on taking his property. But they said, even if he hadn't come up with the money, it would not have been that easy for her just to go in and put a padlock on the door because his properties are probably tied up into so many other investors and other partnerships that they would have had to have served them papers also. Maybe the percentage that he owned outright, she probably could have said, okay, I want this. But it wouldn't have happened so quickly, like, okay, he didn't come up with the money. Now she can go and put the padlock on it. They even said that if she had tried to seize his bank accounts, because she probably would have looked at that, okay, how much money does he have in his bank accounts? She would have had to have reached out to the banks to find out. And then issue an order to seize that. But you know what's interesting about all this? Media is focused on taking Trump's money. We got to take it. We got to stop him. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is giving Iran money. Release their money to them,
Oh,
billions of dollars. And look at where it has
so
gotten us. Three soldiers were killed at the beginning of
yeah.
February, which was Black History Month. We have some of our ships under attack in Yemen. And then you look at what they're doing in Israel. But they want to freeze Donald Trump's assets because he wants to run for the president. He wants to make America great again. He wants to cut the spigot off the money that we're giving to Iran. He wants to make certain that Russia isn't selling its oil to Iran, but they're going to try to freeze Trump's account and not Iran's. Look at the contradiction there. It's stark. It's so unbelievable that people don't see this, and the media does not want us to see it because they want us to think that Trump is the boogie bear. Trump is the bad man. So when they realized that Letitia wasn't going to be the savior that they thought, it was complete meltdown mode. I saw one commentator said, "I just can't believe it. It's like Trump has his own laws. It's like rules for him and for the rest of us. Anyone else, it would have thrown us in jail." I'm like, "Are you serious? I guess you forgot that this man has been indicted how many times? And you're saying that he has the judges in his pockets? These are judges that are trying to bankrupt him, that are creating all these laws or rulings to destroy him. And you're saying simply because the appellate court did what they should have done and said, no, you can't do it, now they're mad." Now just imagine how mad they're going to be when the Supreme Court steps in and says, okay, well, he doesn't have complete immunity, but he does have some immunity. Think about what that's going to, how that's going to impact Jack Smith's case. And then they will be mad because they're going to turn on the Supreme Court and say, oh, well, you know, he put all those people on the court. He put three judges on the court. So, of course, they're going to rule for him. The same way they attacked the judges when they came out with the ruling for Colorado. But thankfully, all of the judges agreed that Colorado could not remove him from the ballot. But this is all baked in the cake, Heather. It's all baked in the cake. They've demonized the Supreme Court so that when the Supreme Court comes out with the ruling, they're going to say, oh, we told you so. This is not right. This is not fair. Now they can say it, but remember when Trump attacked the judges and said, oh, these guys are nuts? They attacked Trump for saying it, but they're okay saying it. The double standard that we're living in right now is extremely dangerous, Heather, to our democracy. What do you say?
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, they keep saying, you know, Trump's not above the law, but someone, a commentator, made the point the other day. I mean, nobody else is being slapped with lawsuit after lawsuit for dubious claims of things that were alleged to have happened 30 years ago and victimless crimes that he supposedly exaggerated something with. When he paid every penny to the bank and everybody profited, I mean, nobody else would be slapped with lawsuits. The government doesn't have the resources or the inclination to do that. I mean, half the time there are real crimes committed, and the DA just doesn't choose to prosecute because they don't have a strong case. Or so, I mean, it's clearly political. Even people who don't like Trump and don't want him see that. Our government is being weaponized, you know, at different levels. And it's being weaponized to influence an election. And there's something very wrong with that.
To influence an election interference, and the Democrats are always saying that the right interferes with election, and plain as day, they're doing that. And and that's the reason why it just goes back to our conversation last night that I feel that this media in its current form, we've got to put some restrictions on them somehow because they're not the media as defined or spelled out in the Constitution. There's something else other than that. It's more like a campaign headquarters, or like I said, an extension of a political party with the things that they're doing. And it's extremely dangerous. They're under the guise of being a media, just like social media, when they were saying that, you know, we get the protection of the Section 230. And I'm like, no, because you're operating like a publishing company, you're operating like a news media, but you're saying you have this protection and you don't. And this is because the Democrats have gone in and they've changed the definitions, they've changed the way we view things, and no one wants to call them out. Now, here on After Dark, we're calling them out. But as I've mentioned to Andrew so many times, our reach is small compared to their reach. And that's why we keep encouraging our listeners to share our stories on your social media platform, tune in, listen in, get our voices out there. Because when you don't, it's like we're just all speaking in this like one little area and no one hears it, which is what they want. And when you saw what I saw on the media, you had these characters repeating over and over again that Trump is guilty. Trump did something wrong. He did something wrong. And now they're going to take his properties, and rightfully so. You hear that over and over again because they wanted people, you know, to hear that and to think it. And just imagine the people who didn't sit by and look. Like you said, you didn't see everything. Look at the other people who didn't sit by and understand what happened today. They're going to go away saying, oh, Trump got away with it. No, he didn't. What happened was within the realms of the law. And it should have, because this case should not have been brought forward. It should have never been. You look at Cy Vance, he even turned his back on it. And so many others did the same thing. So why is it that Letitia James decided to come in and I'm going to try him and we're going to hold him accountable? She campaigned on this. How can you campaign of going after one person, a private citizen at the time? She campaigned that she was going to go after Trump. All the cards aligned perfectly. The stars aligned perfectly. And she got a judge who, we have to admit, does not like Trump. A judge who sat on the bench and decided all at once he's a realtor. And that he knows the values of property. He didn't even bother to look at Zillow. Because if he looked at Zillow, he would see that the value of Mar-a-Lago isn't $18 million, as he's claiming. I mean, Rush Limbaugh's wife, the deceased late Rush Limbaugh, God rest his soul, just sold her mansion, which is in the same area with Trump, for I think almost $100 million. And then other properties have sold. And then this judge is going to say, oh, I think Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18 million. And then place the values on properties here. This judge doesn't even understand real estate, and no one is going to call him out. No one is going to say anything. And I said this last night, we should have more judges and more lawyers filing petitions with the court, challenging what this judge has done, challenging Letitia James, who wants to be, believe it or not, the governor of New York City. If New Yorkers vote for her, they're insane. Because the city is already in a bad place. And just imagine if she were to come in, I mean, that would be just the kiss of death. It's just like put the final nail in the coffin, it's over. Now we're up against a commercial break, but we're going to continue this on the other side. And we're also going to talk about Ronna McDaniel, who is the former head of the RNC. She now has a job with PMSNBC and NBC. And the lefties there are going nuts. You tuned in to After Dark with Robin Andrew. And my co-host tonight, Heather Robinson of the New York Post, will be back after this brief commercial break.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX. Because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. you would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
So we are back and we're going to continue the discussion of the media's meltdown now that Letitia James was unable to get her hands on Trump's assets. This was not a happy day for the attorney general, because as she claimed once, she walks outside every day and she stares up at 40 Wall Street knowing that she's going to take it. Now, what attorney general goes around broadcasting that they're going to take someone's personal property? What attorney general goes around trying to create or make it seem as though a person has done something wrong when there was no victims? I mean, that's her job, to go after these big companies or individuals for the little man. There were no victims in this case. There was no crime. No one had a loss. In fact, people made money. But this judge on his own, because there wasn't a jury, decided, no, I'm going to, and he had already determined that Trump was guilty. Now, this is in America. And our media just sat there and said, hooray, 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 rallying this judge on, Aragon, knowing that this is wrong. Anyone else would say, wait a minute, there's a problem here. And when I was in journalism school, we were always taught that if judges decided to go, you know, kind of on the dark side, that journalists would all come together and call them out and say, can you believe this? But in this instance, they decided not to do it. They rallied him on because of their hate for Trump. And Heather, I mean, I still can't figure out, where is this hate coming from? Mm-hmm. What has this man done for them to hate him with such a vicious hate? I mean, the last time I looked, when he was in office, he was trying to make America great again. He was trying to make certain that the country was at the forefront, that beacon on a shiny hill that Ronald Reagan always spoke about. So what did he do that they feel as if though we've got to destroy him? I mean, you compare it to Putin, compare it to Iran and our nemesis. What did Trump do? I mean, because people are voting for him. It would be a different story if no one voted for him. What exactly did he do? And I don't want to hear about Jan 6. Well, look at what happened during George Floyd. So what exactly has he done to...
Well, I don't know, Rob. I mean, I've had these conversations with a couple friends recently who don't want Trump. And, you know, they're not the extreme Trump haters. And I've said to them, look, okay, you don't like him. I get it, sort of. But what, you know, do you perceive that all of this, you know, huge lawsuit after federal case, and that he exaggerated his wealth, even though nobody was, even if it's true, any the worse for it, and everybody made money, and the banks got paid, and there was no, you know, no victim, and, you know, women from 30 years ago are claiming things. I mean, Russia nonsense was all not, I mean, isn't it apparent that this is all political, that there's a huge political agenda? And, you know, what they say is that, yes, they acknowledge that there is an agenda, but they, you know, go back to January 6th, they say, but it was, they feel that it was a terrible day and a destabilizing day, and that his judgment, Trump's judgment, was atrocious in their opinion. This is just what I'm hearing, you know, and I mean, I don't want to downplay how bad a day that was, but I mean, you and I, we see that the big picture is that there were 6 months of days like that. I mean, I don't know, is attacking the Capitol, I'm not by any means minimizing how awful the people who got violent were behaving. But is that so much worse than attacking, beating up people in the street and attacking people's businesses and taking, you know, their livelihoods and attacking the American people, as Bibi said, all across the country for 6 months, and the police standing down and telling everybody that's not really violence, it's peaceful? I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that, I mean, the same people who are so completely against Trump and appalled in judgment of him because of January 6th, which he didn't even tell anyone to do, as we know. I mean, he, I don't believe, expected them to get violent. I mean, if you want to say, I mean, conservatives have the right to protest too. I mean, what did he do that was so terrible? He called for protest. But I mean, to not see everything that built to that as even worse a threat, I don't understand. I don't, you know, I mean, I get it. Okay. They don't think his leadership that day was in the wake of the election, you know, they don't like his judgment. They think he was too divisive. But what do they think of the hard left then, which I think is much more divisive and violent and pardoning of violence and encouraging of violence, not for one day, but for 6 solid months? That's what I don't understand. I mean, look, I get it that people don't want, they don't want violence, they don't want political violence, although, you know, a lot of the Democrats don't mind when it's their side. I think we are more consistent in condemning it, whoever's doing it. But I, you know, I, in terms of the intensity of the hatred of him, I mean, to me, it's just they bought this media spin that he's a disruptor, that he incited things, that he, you know, when I think he was really just responding. I think that he stood up to the left, and the left is not used to anybody standing up to them in a brusque, bold way. So, you know, I don't think that he created the discord. I think that the discord exists when the left doesn't get its way. And most of the time, you know, the conservatives and the moderates of this country can capitulate to the left, especially in recent years. So as you know, I think that's more the problem. That said, you know, much as I support Trump, if there was somebody else who could find a more diplomatic way of standing up to the craziness, I'd be, you know, fine supporting that person. You know, we saw DeSantis try. I would have supported him too. But I think that, you know, people just, I think they just aren't used to anybody talking back to the left. And that's why they hate him. And that he's, you know, he's, as we've discussed, his policies were a change. They were, you know, they were not in every way. I mean, he didn't slash every social program. I mean, he wasn't that arch conservative in that way. But he, you know, when he did, I mean, he whatever he did, I'm not a big economics student, but he did things that helped the economy. He got, you know, got a little more assertive with our allies about the, you know, tariff stuff, I think, and trade stuff. He was a great friend of Israel and stood up for Israel's sovereignty and right to its capital city and made no bones about it. He, you know, he did a lot to bring more jobs to the inner cities, as I understand. And, you know, he was tougher on the border. And, you know, the world was relatively more at peace and the country was more prosperous. And I think there are a lot of people who just maybe don't actually, people in the establishment who don't want that, you know. Let's face it. I mean, if this country's at war, hate to be a cynic, but endless wars have been the way for the past 40 years, wars that we don't decisively win, wars that drag on and on. There are certain people who make careers and money and, you know, their kids aren't getting their limbs blown off. So, I mean, you know, there are some people who believe that there's a huge establishment in Washington, including a military industrial complex, that's just fine with a state of permanent, arguably really questionable war. I mean, you know, one hates to be so cynical, but I mean, he was the most pro-peace president in a sense. He was tough. He was perceived as crazy, which I think was a good thing for world peace. I think the dictators and terrorists were scared of him, you know? But maybe the establishment hates that because maybe some of them want war. I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of them make, you know, money and careers, and this is what they do. Is, you know, now I'm sounding like a liberal, an old school liberal. Of course, I support our troops 100%. We have some of the best people, some of our best people capable of sacrifice and courage, you know, that I'm not capable of. I have great respect for our troops. I've just come to believe that, you know, I'm not so sure that this establishment class in Washington deserves, you know, the good, honest and obedient, you know, people who serve in the military. I think they've been, in a lot of ways, deployed in a lot of questionable situations. And this is the norm for the past 40 years. So Trump shook it up, you know, and a lot of people didn't like that. That's my take.
You're right. He did. He shook it up. A lot of people didn't like it. They didn't like the fact that he was definitely, you know, pro-America. And as he said, wanting to make America great again. And for some of them, they're like, well, when was America great again? When we, and they always go back to then they're going into racism, you know, when there was segregation. And these people, they just, they're never happy. And he's doing what many of them said they were going to do, but they didn't do. And I think also when you look at the fact that he's a novice, he wasn't a politician, he was a businessman. And when he first said that he was going to run for the president, they all thought it was a joke. And they said, oh, he's just using this to promote his brand. He's never going to do it. He's going to drop out. But when he stayed in, they were like, oh my gosh, this guy is taking this seriously. I remember John Oliver, the comedian, who had said that he kept saying, oh, I hope Trump runs. Please do it, do it, do it. Making fun of Trump, thinking that Trump wasn't going to do it. And then when Trump did it, he's like, wait a minute. He wasn't supposed to run. They thought that they had someone to poke fun of and to make fun of him. They thought that he would get on the stage, say a lot of kooky things, and not go the distance. But I would submit to you, and I've always said this, you go back some 30-something years ago when Trump's name first started coming out. He appeared on Oprah Winfrey, which at the time was a top popular talk show. He also did an interview with Barbara Walters. And each time he said, this country is falling down. This country is being played by China. He said it over and over again. He said, these politicians, they're not doing what they should do. And of course, they would always say, well, would you run for president? He said, well, you know, I thought about it, but if I did, I would do things a whole lot differently. He has not changed. Some 30 years ago, his political beliefs, I mean, they've probably become more streamlined, but what he has said, what he said then and now, it is the exact same thing. And these politicians don't like it for the simple fact that they will do the same thing, but they will flip-flop, they will cater to certain people. He isn't doing it. And that's the reason why they want to take his money, because he's using his own money to bankroll his campaign. And he even said, yeah, I have $100 million, but I guess I can use that for this to pay this fine, to pay half of it as a bail. He said, but I was hoping to use that for my campaign, but they don't want me to. And they thought they had him. There was like, we got him all tied up now. If we take all of his money, he won't be able to campaign. He won't be able to go out there and compete against Joe. I even heard one commentator said, well, we should take his plane. Let's take the airplane. And he'll have to ride coach. And they thought it was funny. And they started laughing. I mean, we've never seen the media, right? They're jealous. We've never seen the media behave this way. And every day when I get up and I watch them, I'm thinking, are you serious? I was watching Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Joe is supposed to be a Republican. He was in the Senate and he, you know, didn't do well. He had an epiphany. He got out, joined a band, became a drunk. Then he decided, let me straighten up my ways. And you know, Heather, I got to say, I used to watch his show religiously back in the day before Trump started to run for the president. And then once Trump started running and they had a great fallout, I stopped watching it because he became so biased. It was like every day he and Rika, they were attacking him. I'm thinking, why are they attacking the guy? First, they were like, oh, he should be president. Oh, you got to keep your eye on him. Oh, he should this. And then all at once, apparently they wanted to pal around with Trump. And Trump is like, no, you can't because I'm not going to be beholden to anyone. And they hated that. And then they got Trump derangement syndrome and they went on the attack. And they have been on the attack ever since then. So they have all of their minions who come on and just attack Trump day in and day out. Trump can never do anything right. And I sit there and I watch this and I'm thinking, they have an audience who's believing a lot of the things that they say. They didn't have the epiphany that I had and said, no, you guys are being biased. Now, they're not journalists. Mika, I guess she's supposed to be a journalist, but she's not. And I think this is really bad for the country. It's bad for journalism. But they're supposed to be the, you know, the harbingers. They're the, oh, yeah, we got all the news. And you remember CNN's Fair and Balanced and, you know, all the names, what we talk about, you know. And I thought, are you serious? You guys are anything but fair and balanced. But, you know, here we are. They thought that they had a moment that was stolen from them. Defeat was, victory was snatched from their mouths. And now they're angry. A bunch of sullen babies that are crying. Now we're up against another break. We're going to continue this and talk about some other hot topics that have taken place. I want to talk about Representative Kennedy and his face off with this so-called climate czar who didn't know anything about the climate. And we'll also talk about the latest with the UN and what they recently voted on. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. We'll be back after this commercial break for the last half of the show.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Lean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing. Giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients.
you would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
So Heather, the last half of the show, and I want to talk about what's happening right now, what happened in the media with the hiring of Ronna McDaniel, who was the former GOP RNC chairwoman. She stepped down, of course. Trump wanted her out because he didn't feel that she was being effective, and neither did I. We've talked about her before, how it felt that she wasn't supporting candidates the way she should. But in any event, so she stepped aside, and Andrew and I had actually said that we felt that she would probably end up on some place like CNN or PMSNBC making a whole lot of money. Well, interestingly enough, this weekend, she appeared on NBC's Meet the Press. And man, did they have a meltdown. Chuck, I think it was Christine Wing, I think that's her name. She did the first interview with her. And after the interview, Christine appeared on, I think it was Christine Welker, that was her name, Christine Welker. She appeared on some show with Chuck Todd. And he went into this a complete meltdown stage of saying that NBC, the upper brass at NBC, owed her an apology for hiring her and paying for her to do an interview with Christine. And Christine, she's just there looking at it. Now, if I were her, I would have felt insulted to say, well, wait a minute, you think that I can't handle myself interviewing this woman because you didn't do it, you're a man? Now, remember, Chuck Todd used to host the show, but he got kicked aside because he's a white man. And of course, it's all about women, mainly, you know, women of color, and Christine Welker happens to be a woman of color. So he's there lamenting, saying, oh, I don't believe ABC did this to you. They put her out there, and now she's going to promote her lies, and how could they do this? They owe you an apology. You did the best you could with this interview. We don't blame you. So she's just there looking. And then on the next day, we had Joe Scarborough to weigh in, he and Mika Brzezinski. So they, too, are lamenting that how dare NBC hire her, and they didn't even consult with them. Because had they asked them, they would have said, don't hire Ronna McDaniel because she's nothing but lies, and she pushes lies. She's an election denier. Now, mind you, if Trump were to win the election, they will become election deniers. He won the election of 2016, and they were election deniers, saying that he was an illegitimate president, that he colluded with Russia. But when they say it, it's okay. When the right says it, it's not okay. So Mika and Joe, they're just lamenting. And then Mika goes, and you know, she is not welcome on our show. Now, you would think these numbskulls would welcome her on the show. After all, they hired Al Sharpton, the biggest race baiter out there. So what's the difference? Why are they mad that she's on the show? And look at Jen Psaki. She used to work in Biden's White House. Simone Sanders, look at how much they spin lies. But they're getting their undies all in a wedge simply because Ronna McDaniel has been hired, and she's probably hired making more than them. They don't like it. Now, if Ronna goes on and she starts to trash Trump, all at once they would love her. Oh, she's the best. We were wrong about you. But because now,
that's the biggest career booster, the biggest cheap, fast way to boost your career since selling snake oil, Rob. Just
bash. Like you said, she probably will. Eventually, she probably will. And then they will have an epiphany, and they'll say, oh my God, weren't we wrong about her? Remember how they did Michael Avenatti?
Write a book about how terrible Trump was. And
yep.
Go on a book tour. She'll probably claim he groped her.
Well, remember Michael Avenatti?
And sue him for $80 million.
Yeah, Heather, remember Michael Avenatti, who was a porn star?
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels' lawyer, who they at one point they said that he should run for the president. Oh, he's this great person. He's the next coming. And now he's cooling his heels in prison. But they actually thought that this man should be the president of the U.S. And I thought, are you serious? And they had him on the show. They had him on the show just about every day. Had him on their show every day and every night. Michael Avenatti. He had something to say. Only to find out that he was a snake and a snake's man in oil skin or whatever you call it, peddling these cheap lies, stealing from his clients, stealing from Stormy Daniels. She's on the pole dancing, and he's taking her money. And now he's cooling his heels in prison. But they wanted him on the show.
Right out of the G string.
It's unbelievable. And now they're mad because Rona has been hired and that no one in CBS's brass, NBC's brass, bothered to consult with them first before they hired her, as if though they had to. Mm-hmm. These people are so full of themselves. They think that they're the purveyors of the truth, that nothing can happen without their permission. I mean, go figure. I mean, we just the other day, the same time, around about the same time, they had this so-called expert climate expert testifying before the Hill, before with Representative John Kennedy talking about the climate change. Did you see that, Heather?
Yeah. I always love to see him. Yeah, my favorite Kennedy was when he was questioning the librarians who were objecting to any parental input or oversight in the content of school libraries, including very explicit books about sex and transgenderism for little kids. That one's a classic if you watch his questioning there. But yes, I saw this one too. And, you know, he has that way of, the basic, he's very intelligent and he just suffers no fools, Rob. He just, cuts through all their BS. And, he also, he's always, so what is it you want us to do? You want to ban fossil fuels? And when would this take place? What is carbon dioxide? I'm no scientist, but I think carbon dioxide is just, it's either what we exhale or what plants emit. Do you remember which?
But Heather, this guy, here's the thing, this guy, this expert witness, climate expert, Gus Shoemaker, who happens to be a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, and a skier, he's testifying before Congress as some expert witness on climate change, and he knew absolutely nothing. Well, I've been to high school, but I don't know about that. I'm not here to talk about that. Well, what are you there to talk about, Gus? Well, I'm here to talk about the snow that's melting. Well, how do you know it's melting? Oh, because I'm a skier and I don't see much snow. You know, the way I see it, Heather, is that this guy, nice looking chap, someone probably saw him and said, oh, wow, he would look great on camera. Let's put him as an expert witness. So he stumbles up there, and stumbled he did, and stumbled throughout the entire hearing, smiling, and he's all of 23 years old. And it's like, are you serious? You're going to put this guy up before Kennedy, knowing that he is going to just steamroll right over him? But I'm sure the media looked at it and say, oh, no, he did a great job. The same way AOC, when she decided to question Hunter Biden's former business partner, Tony Bobulinski, and the guy held his own, and he started throwing out facts like RICO. And she's, RICO isn't a crime. And what did the media do? They put her on TV the next day saying, oh, you did a great job. You held your own. And you did this. Oh, and by the way, what about Trump? Do you think they should take his property? Oh, absolutely. These are the people that represent us. They put these young kids out as if though they know all there is to know about life. Remember that kid, Greta Von Turn or whatever? Von Berg?
Yeah.
And she was supposed to be some climate czar.
Yeah.
Only 13 years old, and she's out, and she's giving Trump this stare, this look of death. And they made her out to be this major player. I'm thinking, are you serious? But see, Heather, this is where we are. They put these kids out there as if though they're the leaders. They have They know more than the adults, and we're supposed to listen to them. The same kids that are in the streets protesting, supporting Hamas, those are the people that we're supposed to listen to. Did you see the vote the other day at the UN? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my. Well, I have said all along, Rob, I mean, I support Israel, our Jewish state, under siege. I don't think the world begins to understand or want to understand the unremitting campaign to destroy Israel for the past 80 years. I was disappointed in America here. I do understand concern for civilian lives on both sides. I do. But I don't think people understand Israel does not want to hurt Palestinian civilians. This could all be over if Hamas gives back our people, who include Americans, by the way, and knock this off. Knock off what they provoked, what they are continuing, what they have set up. The world, the international left, and the so-called humanitarians are doing no good to anybody, including the Palestinians they claim to care about, because if they really cared, they would be pressing, fine, okay, press Israel to stop, but press Hamas too. Press the people who started this, who are known terrorists and rapists and vicious kidnappers. I mean, how dare these people, you know, ask for a ceasefire without demanding release of the captives and an end to the genocidal campaign against Israel? Their whole thing is built on a lie. You know, I mean, I get it that it's very sad and a lot of Palestinians are dying, and I'm sad about it too. But to pretend like it's happening for no reason because Israel wants to commit a genocide is a lie. Everybody knows that October 7th was a mass-scale, sadistic, brutal massacre of civilians and captive-taking of innocent families and children, including Americans. I mean, that they have the audacity to sit here and act like Israel's doing all this for no reason, you know, is a lie. And they, if they're real humanitarians, at the very least, they need to demand Hamas give back the hostages, number one, stop it, and then fine, ask Israel to stop it. That's the only humanitarian position. Everybody knows it. These people are not humanitarians. They just like the other side, which is the really genocidal side. And I'm sick of them. And, you know, why don't they ask Egypt to evacuate Palestinian children? I'd support that. There are things that could be done if we really care about children. You know, it reminds me of all the people, you know, who claim, anyway, I don't want to get off topic, but, you know, I think if our concern really is innocent life, and the only people we know for sure are innocent are the children, you know, try to find a way to call on both sides. Try to evacuate them. Don't just blame the side that was forced to respond. You know, it's just fakery. It's not going to save anybody. And it's asking Israel to just give up its security to monstrous rapist murderers. And, you know, Israel's the stronger party. That's not going to happen. So, you know, all they're doing is strengthening the position of Hamas and reinforcing this dynamic where, you know, this is what the terrorist side does. This is what they do. They attack, then they run back and hide among their children, and then they cry to the world, and the world buys that. And so it continues. It's so transparent. I mean, it's like you ask, how can people not see there's a big agenda against Trump? Like him or not. I mean, I say, how can people not see that these Palestinian terrorists are total evil manipulators, whether you love Israel or not? I mean, clearly they set up the whole situation. They're hunkering down with the hostages, hiding among their kids, you know, and then crying that it's like a genocide happening for no reason. I'm not denying that it's tragic, but it's obviously not that. You know, it's a war they started, and now they set it up to make it impossible for Israel to get them without hurting innocent people. And then they cry to the world about it, and the world buys their line. And it's just very dismaying, Rob. I mean, there are a few voices of reason in our country. John Fetterman, I noticed, and Ted Cruz, who pointed out that Hamas is still holding Americans. You know, and for America to not veto a resolution like this that doesn't demand release of the captives, including our own American people, is a travesty.
It is a travesty. And then I will go back to just, you know, talking on those same lines to tie this all in together, looking at how the media portrays this, making it seem as if though Israel is a bad guy, and they're not, because we know who started this. And the media is being very deceptive and reporting on this, and the indoctrination of so many young people, not explaining to them, as we said last night, if you forget history, you're doomed to repeat it. They don't want these kids to know what happened on 9/11. They don't want them to know what happened during the Holocaust. And this has been a disservice to these kids and to our country, because Israel is a great ally of America. We're not saying that Israel is perfect. We're not saying that America is perfect. We're not saying that the leaders are perfect. But when you're an ally, you protect the other person, because you know the intent of the opposition is annihilation, complete annihilation. So to see this happening at the UN today is very disturbing, and it's very sad. You've been listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight, Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow night. And as my good friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. God bless, God save America, and God save Israel. Good night. Thank you.